Now, no one knows for sure what this messenger was, the messenger that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 12:7, the messenger of Satan who was sent to torment him. But I have an idea, because we have one at our house, and he has long ears and four short paws and a name, and his name is Ollie, or Oliver Roy, our 12-year-old basset hound. Now, hounds were bred for three purposes: to track down, to persist, and then to communicate. And Ollie does all of these things. If there's something Ollie wants, he tracks us down. Then he persists in communicating about it, either through or just through whining, usually whining. Now, you have to understand that all of Ollie's needs are met. I mean, he's okay, he's 12 years old, but he's in pretty good shape, and he's a healthy enough guy. He gets regular checkups, and even though he's getting up in years, he's not in chronic pain. He has a comfortable, air-conditioned life, and he's just fine. But if you were to ask Ollie, he would tell you that's not the case. He would tell you, my life is horrible, and I want a biscuit, and I want to go outside, and I want to go inside, and I want what Max is eating, and I want what you're eating, and I want to sit on the couch, and I want to go for a walk, and I don't know what I want, but I'm just going to cry about it anyhow. Now, you get the idea, but you also might have gotten another idea as I was going through that list. Don't we all kind of sound like that sometimes? I know I can. Maybe I don't whine quite as much sometimes. I'm not sure Carrie could tell you the answer to that, but yesterday really wasn't such a good day for me. But, you know, I wonder if that doesn't just tip the scales in my prayers sometimes. More worry than praise. More worry than praise. More worry than thanks. How about you? I ask because there's plenty of worry to go around these days. There are those who would further unrest in hearts and minds today for any number of reasons. But our strength, our hope, and our stand must be in God and his love for us and his grace for us. Of course, life has enough troubles of its own, just as Jesus said. But we tend to manufacture a few more, don't we? Could I just have a show of hands? How many of us have ever worried about things that have never happened? Okay. Can I see two hands even? I mean, that brings us to our scripture today. These vital words from Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, I'm sorry, let me give you the reference. We are in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And please follow along in your Bibles. And again, after I read, then Jarek is going to play, and we're just going to pray quietly for God to move his word to our hearts. So after I read it, go ahead, read through the passage again, or just ask God to bless us as we listen to his word. Again, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So if that is how God clothes you, excuse me, I just realized that I didn't turn the camera around for our folks online. So if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not worry. Do not worry. The pagans run after all these things. Let's take a moment and just quiet ourselves before, maybe read through the scripture again. Let's just bow our hearts for a moment. Lord, please move. Move through your word. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives so we may live faithfully for you. Sing along this time. We don't have the lyrics, but I think we probably know it. This is from a sermon that was given outside, so let's. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise. I want to take a brief look at our scripture this morning so that we can take the message to heart and take it with us. We need to do this because even though we say all the time that worrying doesn't help, still we do it, don't we? And we need someone to help us through that, to help us out of that. And that is exactly what Jesus will do if we let him. You see, there's a part of us that might say, well, you know, okay, Jesus, it's easy for you to say, don't worry, because after all, you're the Son of God, but wait, not so fast. Oh, yes, fully the Son of God. But Jesus knew from the very beginning what was going to happen to him in his life. And every time he tried to tell the disciples, they were in denial about it. Jesus had plenty to worry about. He knew he would suffer and die a painful death, and yet he went to it willingly. And yet he is the very one who is telling us, do not worry. Imagine that for a minute. Here is Jesus who would suffer and die painfully for us. And he had a reminder every time he walked down a Roman road, because that's where they performed crucifixions. There would be victims that would hang beside a road. Jesus saw this all of his life. And he knew that was coming for him. And yet he said, can we say it together? Do not worry. And what reason does he give? Look at verse 26. It is because you are valuable, precious to God. And what Jesus is talking about here isn't a pie-in-the-sky outlook on life that has nothing to do with work or practicality. Some might think that and dismiss what Jesus is saying all too easily, as if he didn't know what he was talking about. But Jesus, the carpenter, knew very well what it was like to work with his hands and that it was necessary. He's not saying don't work, don't take care of business, don't take care of necessary things, but what he's talking about is how we do that. Do we see it simply as everything is up to me? I have to take care of myself. Or do we entrust ourselves to God, trust God with our lives, and then do what is necessary? This is the decision you and I have to make every morning before we even get out of bed. Who's running things? Am I letting God in? Do I let him lead me? Do I seek his way for my life? Or do I have to be in control? And of course, we never really put it that way. It's much more subtle than that. It's just that there's so much stuff that we have to do that comes rushing in like wild animals, as C.S. Lewis described it. You may remember that quote. But again, Jesus put it this way, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what Jesus is talking about is a kind of spiritual sweet spot, if you will, where we're living in a relationship with God, and our lives are ordered out of that. And so everything that we do has to do with him. Jesus knew that we would have cares. He told us that we would have trouble in this world. And God's word in 1 Peter 5:7 instructs us to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So Jesus, who sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, isn't being inconsistent. And he's not being escapist, you know, don't worry, be happy. What he's saying is, don't worry, because I am here. And that I is the I of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember what he told us right before he ascended into heaven. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So what Jesus is telling us is that if we cut him out of our lives little by little, worry will take over. Sometimes we don't think that way. We tend to think if we just get a little busier, we tend to think, well, if I just had this, or if I had a few more things, my troubles would be over. But the truth is, without God, our things will own us, and we will never be free. And it is that freedom from the world that God really wants for us, the one thing that matters more than anything else. Because that freedom is what only happens in a relationship with him. That's why Jesus came, so that you and I could live in that freedom. The theologian Helmut Thielicke put it this way. Please listen carefully. The opposite of tormenting worry is not the carefreeness of those who are amply and securely provided with all the necessities of life. Just ask whether the man in the mansion sleeps more peacefully than the man in the small home. No, the opposite of worry is the peace of God, which I can have when Jesus Christ has taken my hand and put it back in the hand of the Father. We are not carefree when the sea is calm and the ship of our life glides pleasantly along. Isn't that true? Things are going well, we still worry. We have more stuff, we just worry about keeping it. Tilaka goes on, but we can be carefree even if the waves rise high when the Lord sleeps in our ship and we know that it cannot go down, that winds and weather cannot hurt us because he who can command them in a moment is with us. The one care that should concern us is that we do not throw away our trust in the Lord who would sleep in our ship and is able to walk upon the waves. As soon as we address our cares to the wrong address, namely the waves, we are caught in the grip of mortal terror and we sink, just as Peter did. So the title of this morning's sermon, and it's really a one-point sermon, is just, who's in your boat? Who's in your boat? If you know that Jesus is your captain, that's the beautiful thing. Even if your ship goes down, he's got you. Our prayer every day needs to be, Lord, help me to live there. And this is easier for some of us than others. My mother had a gift of faith. And she would tell me sometimes, just trust God. And I'd push back against it. But I saw how God would take care of my mother, even with Alzheimer's. Years later, he provided for her in a beautiful way. Again, we mentioned earlier about how many times we worry about things that will never happen, right? How much better to simply, before we even put our feet on the floor in the morning, Lord, I'm yours. Holy Spirit, fill me. Lord, help me to finish this day closer to you than I started it. Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to think about the things that matter to you. Help me to do the things that you want me to do. And we all do this to a degree in all likelihood, but the truth is, can we not do it more? I know I can. If Jesus is in your boat, that's a whole different journey. If you know he's there, if you know he's got you, I think that's why Peter would write, cast your cares on him. Because he cares for you. So, oh, may we pray for God to help us all in this. And if you have never come to the place of receiving Jesus and trusting him for your salvation, oh, don't let another moment go by. Because it's more than just eternal security that we're talking about. That's vital. But it's the most practical of things on this earth as well. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus either meant these things or he didn't. And I believe he meant them in the most practical way. And the salvation he offers us means that heaven touches earth right here. Think of the old hymn, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." That's what happens when you know Jesus is in my boat. And hey, it may even seem like God is sleeping right now, but I'm going to trust him. Because if when you go to his word and you find out what happens, especially in that situation, how does it end? It ends well. Some of us struggle with this because it is just our nature to worry. And we have to recognize again there, this is a place where he can help us. It's a matter of just being very dependent. I don't know about you, but I've borrowed so much trouble in life. I want to give it back. Better put, I want to give it up. And there's one who helps me do that. Because where he is, no matter what happens, I am blessed. May we pray. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of troublesome times, you take our troubles. And you who went to the cross and suffered and died for us, take our worries and our sins and our fears upon yourself. And the closer we get to you, the more we find perfect love. Your perfect love casts out all fear. So, oh Lord, help us. Help me, help each one of us in this. And if there's someone within the sound of my voice this morning who has not received him, oh, to know that Jesus has your life in his hands. There's nothing better. Because through his Spirit, he helps us to rest and he helps us to trust. Our part is to take that first step. Would you do that? By saying, yes, I believe you are God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and life. And help me to live, Lord, with you and for you. This I pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stopped right before the chorus. Do you know it? Do you know it? Not just the words. Have you got the music? Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat." And after they had eaten, he picked up the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. All of you, drink of it." Folks, as we come to the table this morning, whether we're at home or here at Peace, let's remember that we are loved with an amazing love. Think of loving someone like that. And because he loves us so much, do not worry. I've got you. I mean, that's amazing love. Be still, my soul. I'd like to ask, as we come forward again, a couple of things to remember. First of all, we ask as we come to the table that we come turning from our sins and turning to Jesus. Come with faith in him. Next, also remember proper social distancing between families or individuals. We have things put out here so that I think they're accessible without difficulty. This is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Peace to share in it. We just invite you to, if you believe in our Savior and trust in him, to come and participate. Let's go ahead and pray again. Lord, set apart these elements from an everyday use to a sacred one. And help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Please come as the Lord leads.